T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right. Blessed and greetings, love. Zeb, welcome to Bob Radio. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm great, great. Well, Zeb, you guys, is a drummer for Tribal Seeds. He did all kinds of touring with Barrington Levy. He's played with probably every major artist you guys know, Shaggy, you name it, gentlemen from all over the world. And
yes, sir.
Yep. And then you had your band, Detour Posse. So, Zeb, how did you get involved with music? Playing drums, or did you always play drums, or what happened? What was going on right there with your musical career?
So let's see. So I started out playing guitar when I was about 8, and because my family played guitar, my brother, my mom.
Okay.
And I was kind of like an ADD kid. I didn't really, you know, like it was just, I don't know, I just wasn't into that one. So my mom got me a drum set when I was 9 for Christmas, and I just sat in my room and just played that thing like every day, all day. I took lessons for maybe 3 years, maybe, when I was, like, young.
Okay.
So I played through, we had bands, when I was, like, 10, 11 years old. We played, like, AC/DC and Led Zeppelin, you know what I mean? Like, little school dances and stuff. So I was doing gigs even back then. But then high school, I kind of stopped, and skateboarding and, you know, all these things came up and whatever, whatever. And then I got into, like, punk rock. I played a bunch of punk rock bands. But I wasn't really serious, you know. And then my brother actually got me into reggae. I more grew up like classic rock and punk rock. That was like what I was into, you know. And then,
so much of Southern California grew up on that stuff. So.
Yeah, you know, and that was around music all the time. And you know, my dad was into like R&B, and my mom was into rock. So it was like I had both those.
Okay.
My dad would listen to like Luther Vandross and you know guys like that, and you know Barry White and stuff. And my mom was into like Zeppelin and the Who and you know that. So
killer.
I remember getting that, hang on. And, high school, so I was playing punk rock. My brother got me into reggae. I was about 16, I think, maybe.
Okay.
Around 16. And I got super into it. Like, at first, I didn't like it. It was slow. And we were talking about a long time ago, where it wasn't a Cali reggae scene. It was Jamaican artists strictly. Got me into, like, Black Uhuru.
Yeah.
Old Oswald.
Foundation Brent artists.
Spear, you know what I'm saying? Gregory Isaacs.
Yeah.
You know, Eka Miles, all that stuff. So, like, I got into it around that era. And then he took me to a few concerts. I saw, I think it was Sly Robbie, Taxi Gang, and Black Uhuru.
That was an awesome show.
And saw Oswald. And Steel Pulse did Earth Crisis, or some, one of those tours at the...
True Democracy, Greek Theater. Yeah.
And I got to see this live, like, in its heyday. And I was like, man, I want to play like that. So I just started studying all the drummers. Sly Dunbar, Horsemouth.
Oh, wow.
Style Scott from Roots Radix, you know. And we started a bunch of bands, and we had local bands and everything. And then I started back an artist maybe like a few years later. I did Mikey Dredd.
Okay, so hold on. So before we get into the backing artist, so what was it, the first band you had was Detour Posse? Was that
No. I had other bands. I had a band called One Destiny, and then I had another band called United Nation. Okay. And then a bunch of other local bands. This is before Detour. This was before Detour.
Okay.
It's kind of like how I just got started in like the reggae world.
Okay, so you were backing Mikey Dredd before Detour Posse?
Yeah, long time. And Ross Michael and the Sons of Negus was the first artist that took me on tour, actually. And I went to Europe. I played at Reggae Sun Fest in Jamaica and got to tour, travel, and, you know, see the world and play music and make money. And Ross Michael was a Naya Bingi Rasta man, and you know, I learned about the culture. Yeah, it was more about the culture of it also, not just the music, you know.
Right. Rastafarian culture. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, I got into it. I started going my locks, reading the Bible, and I got really into it. I got really into the. That's where Zeb came from. Was in 12 tribes. That was my tribe. Was Zebulon. So people started calling me Zeb. That's kind of where all that came from. So as the years went on, then that ended. I started playing with some other local bands, and then Detour kind of started with a brother named Daka. He already had the band.
Okay.
And my good friend Bill Shively was playing bass. He's playing with Boyz II Men now. He played with Big Mountain and different people over the years too. And so he brought me in, and we were just kind of like Dark Eyes back in then.
Okay.
But then a lot of the promoters in LA started bringing dancehall artists mostly at first.
Mm-hmm.
So Lady Saw, Red Rat, General Degree, people like that.
Right, Nick Gates. Lightning in them. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that was a little bit after, but still, same, like Jamaica Gold that started, and all these, you know, there was a lot of Caribbean shows, a lot of Jamaican shows going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they would be like, hey, you guys think you could back this artist? Sure, no problem. So we learned their shit, you know, go and do it, nail it, kill it, next show, do the same thing. Then all of a sudden, the artist started knowing about us from Jamaica, and they knew they could come to the West Coast and not have to bring a band from Jamaica.
Right. That was a game changer.
Yeah, because back then a lot of people didn't have visas, and it was a really hard thing for them to bring their band.
And then the money.
Unless you were like Sly and Robbie or, you know, Roots Radix, obviously they were doing that, but, you know, not all the Sugar Mine on all these guys couldn't afford to bring bands from Jamaica all the time, you know?
Right.
So we with bad guys like that, and then, Barrington Levy obviously came up, and I ended up playing with him for like, 18, 19 years at least.
Wow.
And then, you know, like a million artists in between that. We did Sean Paul for years. You know, we did Alton Ellis, Mighty Diamonds, like you name it.
Shaggy, you did Shaggy at the Tonight Show or something?
Yeah, we were kind of like, a versatile band that could really back. Not just roots artists, but like dancehall artists too.
Sometimes you were the festival band too, right?
Yeah, we were the house band for all the Bob Marley days, all the Ragamuffins, all the Sierra Nevadas, all the Reggae on the Rivers.
Yeah.
So we would back like 7 artists each day.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Crazy, so, you know what I mean?
Crazy fun.
You know, it's just stressful too. A lot of times you don't get rehearsals with the artists, or they miss their flight, they don't come in, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, back then as a backing band, it's a little bit stressed, but it made us the musicians that we are, I think, you know, from doing that.
For sure.
Plus, you learn how to be a chameleon and fit into whatever project that you end up in. That's why when I joined Tribal Seeds, I fit into the band, because I already knew the Steez of the band and the music that they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And I was already a fan, and so my playing style just fit into what they were doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it's been a great addition to the band. You bring a lot of energy and... it's always good.
I'm happy to be here. I'm stoked. We got a lot of things on the horizon. You know, obviously, right now, so everybody be safe and get through all of this, you know, and hopefully we'll come out brighter on the other side.
So, you did a bunch of work with Tribal Seeds and went on tour a bunch of years now. And so you also did some production work with Slightly Stupid, yeah?
I've done, me and Kyle have written a lot of songs together. The last song that I had on one of their records was Hold It Down on Meanwhile Back at the Lab. So we wrote that song together, and I recorded it. I played drums on it. And me and Kyle have been friends from way back, you know, from those days that we're talking about, from Brick by Brick, you know, era. You know what I mean?
We stayed
friends over all these years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's cool to see everything come full circle, how big they got. Now
I'm kidding.
In a band that's in their scene. And we touring together and doing songs. You know what I mean? So it all kind of came full circle, which is awesome.
Awesome stuff.
Awesome stuff. So, but me and Kyle have done like, I don't know, we probably done like 100 tracks together over the years.
Jeez.
Or something, man. This all kind of stuff. Funk stuff, reggae stuff.
Okay, so I've been following your career since, I've known you since when you started backing Doc Guy, and you came over down to Cafe Sevilla downtown. It's like 96 or something crazy. And so you were branching out to be doing your own music. You were going to do your own music there for a little while, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I did. I actually had a little short-lived career for a minute. I was signed by Randy Jackson from American Idol when he was at A&R Columbia.
Wow.
Had kind of like a development deal. Back then, they would like give you development deals. Like, okay, we're going to give you some money. We like your song. Go in the studio and do some other stuff. Let me hear it. You know? Like, So I never got the full record deal, but I did get a couple songs and movies.
Okay.
From that. Yeah, and I had an MTV on Laguna Beach. I was on the soundtrack for that. So now I'm kind of revisiting that, and I'm going to put out an EP, a solo EP. It's going to be all collabs.
Killer.
Yeah.
You said you were doing some work with Kat DeLuna?
Yeah, I worked with Kat DeLuna for like a few years. It hasn't been a while since I worked with her, but okay. I did a bunch of Latin pop artists like her. And okay. I did like Paulina Rubio. I did like a TV show with Paulina Rubio and a couple different, you know what I'm saying? So I branched out. It's not, I don't just play reggae, but.
Yeah.
It's been like the bulk of my career, you know.
For sure. And reggae's taking you to the four corners of the world playing reggae music.
Yeah, man, crazy. All over the world, man. Places I never thought I'd be in, and multiple times, too, you know. Like, you know, all of a sudden you're in French Guiana or something. Like, how did I get here? Like, you know.
How amazing. You've had a very amazing career, and I know you guys are going to keep on doing stuff. We talked earlier, and you said that Tribal Seeds is in the works on a new single, something like that?
Yeah, we're going to... So, we were in the midst of doing a new record when all this happened. We were actually supposed to go to South America. Obviously, all that's canceled now, but be promoting stuff out there. But we're going to release a single pretty soon here. I don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be pretty soon here. And then we're going to have the full-length album is going to come out this year at some point. Now, because of all of this... Things are obviously up in the air as far as release dates and all that.
Right.
You know, we're hoping that we can get it out by fall. And we're supposed to go on tour with Iration this summer.
Right.
That's, you know, that's still kind of up in the air, you know.
I always hope that one. Hopefully this ends at the end of, beginning of May. And things will start getting back to normal by summer.
Yeah,
we'll
see. I don't know, we're all hoping we can be on tour this summer.
In addition to all the work that you do with all the local bands and tour, not local bands, international bands and national bands, you also have your own local reggae night, yeah?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, when I'm in town, we do Lighthouse here in Hermosa Beach, and I play a bunch of different little spots around my South Bay area out here. So we keep, you know, this South Bay here is a cool little reggae community because probably like, I don't know, half of us live from tribal, live right here. Like Gonzo lives down here.
Okay.
Fortunate Youth, all the Fortunate Youth guys live right here.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal's Bad Seed guys live right here. Pepper, most of the guys from Pepper live right here. Pennywise, so it's like the South Bay music scene is always... Kind of had some.
Didn't Fortunate Youth pick you up to go on a tour really recently too?
I've toured with them before too. I did a couple like runs with them before. I did a whole tour with Tribal Seeds with them.
Oh wow! Okay.
Pretty much. And then I've done you know some runs here and there. Yeah.
So that means that you played with Tribal Seeds and then you played with Fortunate Youth at the same night.
But yeah, you see what I'm saying, though, because where I came from, like, people are like, gosh, you're tired. I'm like, actually, that's not even that bad. You know what I mean? That's only 2 hours, bro. Like, I'm used to being up there for, like, 4 hours.
Yeah. Those Jamaican festivals, backing bands, it's a nonstop, man, for hours and hours.
You just learn how to, like, have stamina.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? After doing it for like, so long and so often, you know?
Beautiful.
So we're just trying to keep things alive, man. And, you know, we're going to put out this music soon. And I'm hopefully going to put out a single of my own.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one yet, but you'll have it for sure.
Absolutely.
You'll have it for sure. Yeah, I got some really like cool collabs on this on the EP. So I'm just trying to work on that while we're locked down right now, you know?
Cool. Well, you know, one of the questions that... some of the people get to, and sometimes I ask it, sometimes they say it, but what do you think is maybe one of your top two highlights in your musical career, like a vibe that was incredible, or like you played in front of a trillion people or something like that?
Well, let's see. I think when we went last year with Tribal Seeds, we played at Summer Jam in Germany.
Okay.
And we did a European. This is the first time the band has ever really been to Europe. We had done a one-off in Portugal, but this is the first time that Tribal Seeds has really ever played in Europe, and we did France, Amsterdam, London, Switzerland, and then we did Summer Jam in Germany, which is a big deal, you know, that's a big festival out there.
Yeah.
And we smashed it, and the response we got was amazing.
How awesome.
So it was like, you know, 30,000 people, but they had never seen the band before, ever, you know.
Right.
People were saying they drove from other countries, you know, just like that, bro. We're like, whoa, you know. So that was definitely a huge highlight. And I played with Barrington one time in Yokohama, Japan, at a baseball stadium, and there was about 80,000 people there.
Holy moly.
This is for Mighty Crown Sound System. They do a show called Reggae Side.
Okay.
And it was like 80,000 people, like a Super Bowl size thing.
Wow.
And that was pretty ass, yeah. You don't usually get nervous, but that's a lot of people. When you look at, like, okay, so think Cali Roots is about 18,000. Mm-hmm. One Love is about 22.
Uh-huh.
So four times the amount of people that were at One Love.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's,
yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy amount of folks.
Yeah, and you look out, you're like, damn, how'd I get here, you know?
Well, you're a badass drummer. I've seen you play for so many years. I've been to a billion of your shows. We've hung out so many times and hung out and stuff.
Yeah, man, we're like family for like, what, 20-some-odd years now?
Yeah, 25 years.
Crazy, man. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm glad to see you doing this, though, too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, radio's been great for me. It has done a lot of good stuff for me, and being involved in reggae music has been a savior in my life.
You stuck it through like we did, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
just cut my nose in it.
Dropped out. And you adapted to the change and the shift of where reggae was going from strictly a Caribbean, Jamaican thing to an American music now.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
A European music now. Like.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, we gotta move with the punches. We gotta bend with the wind.
Yeah, but it's great to see it. Like, look at how big the scene got, bro. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The scene has gotten so huge in the last 10 years. It was like apexing as we were talking as before this corona, because every big artist. Now, here's something that I've talked to about some other people about is that even on in Jamaican's best day, Gregory Isaac and Dennis Brown and Freddie McGregor together with, say, Sly and Robbie, would have a very hard time doing the tour schedule that Revolution and Soulja and The Green and all these bands do and Slightly Stupid do on a yearly basis, filling amphitheater after amphitheater. No way. There's no. I never would see that. You know what I'm saying?
No. I mean, yeah. The touring thing for them back then was nowhere near as extensive as it is for the American bands now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that, you know, it's opened up a huge world with Live Nation and all these big promoters that were never involved in reggae back then. You know?
Yeah, they could care less about us before.
it was private promoters for the most part.
Yep.
You know, just a dude sometimes had money. He's like, I'm going to put on a show, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like that. I mean, they had a festival.
What's
you know?
His like, name? I interviewed, who was it? Tip Irie. He's like, yeah, the gangsters then from New York would just fly us in.
Tippers were there from way back, bro. Yeah, he knows. You know what I'm saying?
He knows.
Just some gangster dude would fly him out to do a show, and he'd have to just hope he got his money. And,
and the show went off good. Everything was...
Which is a great thing now, because we all get paid, actually, like now. You know?
I don't
have to actually fight for the money before we go on stage. Like, so that's awesome.
And then the cool thing that the American bands did was, and I was talking to this about Rasta Stevie, was that the American bands... The contract was a contract. You don't show up to the venue and demand an extra room five extra...
There's no change in the contract after that.
Jamaicans love to switch around at the last second.
Yeah.
Demand more money, era, all kinds of stuff.
You have to understand, though, that era, most of those guys were kind of like the Motown guys, just kind of got ripped off, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of the big artists that we all grew up loving and listening to were just getting ripped off by the Jamaican producers, or if they got an American record deal by them.
Sometimes their manager, right?
Yeah, sometimes, exactly. So, you know,
gnarly.
You got to remember where the music came from, and there was a lot of strife and poverty and all of that going on there. So, like, a lot of these cats would just come in and get paid like, you know, a few hundred bucks for the song, and then Junjo and those guys or whatever producer would own the song.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is sad. It sucks because they really got ripped off of like
all the mechanicals,
you know. And now, so the new artists now, like Protege and Chronic, they're obviously smarter. Oh. It's a new era.
Oh yeah,
they know how to run their thing now. They're not getting ripped off like that.
No. It's a different game now.
Yeah, and you used to have artists like Coffee now, like doing songs, or Sean Paul even had new songs with, like, you know, Beyonce or Rihanna, whoever they're working with, too, which has brought, you know, reggae and dancehall into the limelight of American music, too.
Again, Coffee got a deal with Lifewater or something, and Sean Paul, Bosey made it onto, like, Sprint commercial or something. I don't even...
Yeah, Sean's been, I mean, he's been doing it, like, bro, like...
Consistently.
I remember when I met him, he was, like, a young kid from... He was living in, like, Miami. Mm-hmm. And the Reggae Sunsplash people had brought him out, and we were back in Shinehead at that time. And mm-hmm. they were like, hey, we got this new kid, Sean Paul. And that's when he had just come out with that song, was it Infiltrate? It might have been Infiltrate.
Infiltrate.
He had a song, a gal on the phone, something like that. Something about a girl on the phone or something.
Okay.
And, like, that was, like, the song that, okay, I heard that song before, you know. Yeah, this is before Give Me the Light and all that. So,
yeah.
Way before. This is years before that. So,
yeah.
He came out, he was just, like, 18, never performed, really. People at the show were kind of like, who's this kid? You know,
yeah.
He ain't that good. You know what I'm saying? It was, like, that vibe. Like, and...
You know, Jamaicans, they want to make you, they're not going to give you a free pass. They are not going to give you a free pass.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I didn't know he was, and he was green, and then, you know what I mean? But he was like, yo, can I come to the studio with you guys? And yeah, come on. And mm-hmm. kind of show him the ropes a little bit. And
wicked.
Over the years, we backed him up, like, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. We've, you know, some tours with him and mm-hmm. stuff with Mr. Vegas and him together and whatever. But, yeah, then, you know, Give Me the Light came on MTV, and bro, and his career just went bang. And, you know, he followed it up, and that at those times, you could actually make money. People actually buying records still. This is kind of mm-hmm. same with Shaggy, like that era where right before, like, Spotify and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff started coming in.
Yep, exactly.
People were still buying records. Shaggy sold 15 million with Hot Shot, you know, and I think, you know, probably the last records are more like, you know, 50,000, you know?
Right. They don't sell records like they used to. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No, nobody does. Not just him. It's just the industry, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Man, so awesome to be talking to you about all this industry stuff and what's going on with Tribal Seeds and everything.
Yeah, all of us in this industry, we're all just, you know, hoping we can play music again live soon. I just, you know, we know the fans won't need it and we need it. And, like, you know, it's really... But, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, the industry that we're in is very, for this kind of thing, it affects every aspect of it, from the show part to the touring and the same bus part to, like, all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's just, you know, like, you know, we'll see how everybody comes out on the other side. But, you know, hopefully this thing will end sooner than later.
Yeah.
And everybody can do their summer tours and, you know, whatnot, but, you know.
Yeah.
We're just hoping everybody's be safe, so when we do play again, everybody's
first,
there.
First
know?
And foremost, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Hey, well, we'll be looking out for your new Tribal Seed projects, your solo project, and whatever
yeah,
else you're doing with Slightly Stupid and all the other South Bay people and stuff.
Yeah, man, we're just going to keep it moving, brother.
Right on. Hey, well, thank you for spending time here with us on Bob Radio, and we appreciate
Thanks,
you,
bro.
And we love you, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, man, bless up all the fans. I love y'all.